Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're celebrating Christmas in a very special way.
If you've experienced His forgiveness, yeah, I want to tell you, now when God looks at you, He sees you as son. He sees you as daughter of the Most High God. Your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God addresses you as a family member. That's why we celebrate the birth of Jesus.
Merry Christmas and welcome to the Friday edition of Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Mark is the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and president of the Moody Bible Institute. We hope you're having a wonderful day with your friends and family. On today's program, we're going to be talking about the real reason for this season, and we'll be turning to the book of Isaiah to help us in our study. We're talking, of course, about Jesus, hope, and God's gift to us. If you've missed any of the messages in this special series, you can listen to them at your leisure when you head over to our website, boldstepsradio.org. Right now, here's Mark Jobe with today's Christmas message titled, There's Hope for the Disappointed.
I want to remind you today that there was one that was born. His name is Wonderful Counselor, the one that sees into the future because He's not limited by time and space. And He's willing to guide you when you look to the heavens and say, not my will, but yours be done. Proverbs tells us, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So I want you to know that His name is Wonderful Counselor. And today you can get guidance and counsel from that Wonderful Counselor. I want you to know that His name is also Mighty God. Jesus was not just a man that was born a marginalized Jewish peasant born in Galilee that never traveled 60 miles beyond where he was born. He was much more than that. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became incarnate and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten Son of God. What the Bible tells us is that Jesus, He's always been, He's never had a beginning, He's always existed with the Father. This is core to Christianity. Jesus is not just a good example. He's not a Martin Luther King Jr. He's not a Gandhi. He's not a social reformer. He's not just a good example of a humanitarian person that did good for the masses. Jesus, the Bible declares, is God Himself. If you have not understood the deity of Jesus, then you've abdicated Christianity. You cannot be a Christian without embracing the fact that Jesus was all God and all man, Mighty God. Why was this important? Well, because only God Himself could be sinless. Only God Himself could offer the ultimate sacrifice on that cross. You see, the miracle of the incarnation, the virgin birth, the miracle of it all was that Jesus Himself. And some people wonder, well, why did He have to be born of a virgin? If you look down through history a little bit, you'll understand that from the first Adam and every generation after Adam has been born with the sin nature, passed down through the seed of man. The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam because Jesus was not born with the seed of man. He was born impregnated into a woman without the intervention of man from on high, God depositing in the womb of Mary this inception of life. There was a reason for that, because Jesus would not be born with the sin nature that is passed down. And Jesus would be born and live a sinless life. Not once was there lying that came out of Him. Not once was there hatred. Not once did He violate the commands of God. He lived a sinless life so that ultimately when He would go to the cross of sacrifice, that blood that Jesus shed was not just merely the blood of man, it was the blood of God Himself. The perfect, unblemished sacrifice of God. There's no human being that has ever existed that could have been that sacrifice. There's no good person, no Mother Teresa, no good doer that could have ever hung on that cross and paid for the penalty of our sin. It had to be God Himself, the Son of God, unblemished, untarnished, sinless, holy. He would be the only sacrifice that could satisfy the justice of God. That's why when He went to that cross, He was all God and all man. Yet amazing as it may seem, think about it. The God of the universe, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, sovereign, that knows all things, that waved and the worlds were created, that the angels bow to Him day and night, that they fly around His throne calling, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." This infinite God chose to humble Himself and package Himself as a baby who needed to subsist and exist by nursing on His mother's breast. The God of the universe dwindled down to a baby with diapers. Amazing. Never once did He cease to be God. Never once did He cease to be holy. Never once did He give up His deity. He emptied Himself and limited Himself, but never once did He cease to be mighty God. The Bible says His name is called Mighty God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, 31, He says He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. He's a mighty God. And I don't know what you may be facing today. Maybe it seems like your obstacles are great. Maybe it seems like your challenges are too far for you to overcome. I want you to know that there's a name being given to Jesus, and His name is Mighty God. Not only is He Wonderful Counselor, He's also Mighty God. And if you've embraced Him and accepted Him and believed Him, invited Him into your life, you have the power of Almighty God dwelling with you and walking beside you. Amen. Number three, He's called Everlasting Father. There's a great difference between our earthly father and everlasting father. He is called Everlasting Father. He has no beginning. He has no end. Yet He functions as a father. The nurture, the protection, the guidance of a father. Not a distant, omnipotent, generic force of the universe, but a caring, loving, involved Father who the Spirit surges us inside to call Him Abba Father, which means Daddy. That Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus that lives in us. And the Bible says His name is called Everlasting Father. It tells us in Matthew 11, "Come to Me, all those of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls." There's something about the Father heart of God manifested in Jesus that gives me great comfort as I come to Him as one that I know has all power, but one that I know cares deeply. Everlasting Father.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Our message is called "There is Hope for the Disappointed." If you'd like to hear it again, be sure to visit us online at boldstepsradio.org. Mark, one feature on our website is we're inviting questions from listeners. I hope this is okay with you because It kind of puts you on the spot, doesn't it?
I love it.
Okay. Here's Roger who sent this question to you. "Dear Mark, I've read Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13 many times. I've heard some people say that this promise was a passage only for the Israelites and doesn't apply to us, but others have made it a modern-day application for this passage. Is there a modern-day application for this passage? What is your interpretation?"
Roger, that's a great question. And of course, Jeremiah chapter 29, 11 through 13 is a powerful passage, quoted a lot. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." What a powerful scripture.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. In the context, Jeremiah the prophet, who's called the weeping prophet, he was speaking to his fellow Jews as they were forced to exile from Jerusalem to Babylon.
Talk about disappointment, huh?
Very disappointing. He had a tough ministry and exiled under the enemy who were taking them captive. And they were actually also combating a false prophet, Hananiah, who was saying that God would relieve the Jews of their suffering in 2 years and they would come back to their home. So Jeremiah is combating this false prophecy. He has to tell them that it's going to be 70 years. So it's in the context of telling them 70 years of captivity, he gives them this word. And so this word was specifically for the Jewish people at that time, but it conveys the heart of God.
Yeah, that's what I wondered, right?
It can be applied to today because God does have a plan for us. God does want our good. God does see into our future, and God does sustain us during long periods of suffering because ultimately his blessing and his favor is upon us.
Oh, that's so good. Roger, thank you for that question today. If anyone listening right now has a question for Mark, you can go to our website, boldstepsradio.org. Look for Ask a Question in the left side bar there on the website. Ask a Question at boldstepsradio.org. Mark, thanks for doing that. Let's return to your message now today. There is hope for the disappointed.
Number four, and lastly, he's called Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. He's a prince. He's the commander of peace. When someone rules over something, you say, well, he's the captain of the guard. That means he's in charge of the guard. When you say, well, that's the store manager, it means that store he manages. He has authority over that store. A prince means that he has authority and rule. Part of his rule is peace. What kind of peace does he rule over? Well, he rules over the peace between us and God. He makes a way so that you and I could have peace with God Almighty. He is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says there's only one mediator between man and God, and that is Christ Jesus. I want to say, listen, there's a lot of good people. And there's a lot of people that have died and gone before, that have lived very good lives. There have been martyrs that have come before, but there's no one dead or alive that can mediate between you and God except for Jesus Christ. There is no in between. Oh, I know your mother was a great woman, and I'm sure she loved you and prayed for you a lot. But I'm going to tell you, your mother that's gone on to be with the Lord, she's not receiving your prayers of mediation. That's not her position for you to pray to her that she would somehow influence God. There's one already in that position. His name is Christ Jesus. He's been given access. That's where he is. That's who he is. That's where he belongs. He says, come to me. I give you access to the Father. One mediator between man and God, and that is the Messiah, Christ Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. It tells us in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give peace as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. I heard recently of a man that was somewhat angry at God. And on Christmas Sunday, his family decided to go to church and invited him. It was Christmas Eve. They decided to go to church and invited him. And he said, I don't want to go. I have
I have my issues. You go without me. And they went, and it was snowing quite a bit. There was a snowstorm happening outside, and he heard some bangs in the window. One bang, and he thought it was just maybe the wind, and then he heard another bang and another bang, and so it caught his attention, and he walked over to his big glass window in the living room, and he realized that it was birds that had been caught in the storm and were banging against the window thinking that they were going to find shelter but weren't able to find it. Ever happened to, you ever seen that happen? Happened one time in my house. I heard a bang in the window and walked out, and it was a bird. He was laying on the ground. My kids were with me, and they said, "Oh, Dad, that little bird. Dad, what's wrong?" I said, no, he's probably just hurt. He was still alive. I said, all he needs to do is he just needs a little help. So you just need to, you throw them up in the air and they'll fly. And so I threw him up in the air like this. He didn't fly. He went, boom. And then I went over to him and he was kind of jerking, and they said, "You killed him, Dad." I said, I was trying to help. Sorry. Okay. They still haven't let me get away with that. The bird that I killed, they call it. I think he was already on his deathbed before I got to him. But some of you are saying, "Remind me not to invite you to my hospital when I'm sick, my bed, So the man went out to his backyard, and there he found this flock of birds, actually a whole flock of birds that had gathered in his backyard there and were moving around and had been caught by the storm. And so he wanted to get them out of the storm, so he opened up his garage door and he tried to shoo them into the garage to get them out of the storm, but they wouldn't go. And then he got some bird feed and he tried to lure them in there and they still wouldn't go. And then he kind of waved his arms and they were just getting frantic. Thought, these dumb birds. If only they knew they could just get in the garage and be warm and get out of the storm, everything would be okay if they just understood it. And he thought to himself, if I could just be a bird and just be a bird for a moment, I would just talk bird language and I would tell them, "Hey, just get in here, you'll be okay." And just as he thought that thought, he heard the bells of the church ringing. And it struck him. Isn't that what Jesus did? Being all God and Almighty God, we were confused and couldn't find our way and didn't know that there was a God way. But he came down and he became like one of us and he spoke our language. And he lived amongst us so that we could know that God had made a way. Jesus Emmanuel. And I closed this morning, I was thinking to myself, you were given a candle as you walked in. And we do it because I try to remind you every year, listen, there's a light that has come, and his name is Jesus. But that light has not been contained to Jesus, because Jesus takes that light, and as he touches our life touches other lives, the light of God. And wherever we go, wherever we walk, God expects us that we would take that light. My name at birth was Mark. As I grew up, went my way, there was another name, Sinner. Because like everyone else, my sin, my sinful nature, my own rebelliousness of heart took me down my own path. The enemy could have looked at me and said, "He's a sinner and he deserves separation from God. He's a sinner. He doesn't deserve to be able to talk to you, God." That's his new name. That's his new identity. And some of you are here, and that's how you view yourselves. You feel like, "I'm ashamed to walk into the house of God. How could God ever accept me? How could I ever become clean enough for God's grace upon me. That's your identity, your sinful past. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ became a man so that we, humankind, mankind, could become sons of God. And if you've experienced God, then there's another name that comes upon you. The name is forgiven. You've been forgiven. Well, I know you have a past. But now when God sees you, he sees you forgiven, washed of your past, cleansed. That's not who defines who you are. That's who you were, but that doesn't define you now. Oh, people may still call you by your street name, or they may know who you were. And when they see you, they say, ah, it's you. But what they don't know, oh, you look the same maybe on the outside. Oh, you have the same physical name. But what they don't see is your heart, because what's happened is you're forgiven. And once you're forgiven, oh, there's another name that sticks, and this is the name that I love the most from God. It's the name Son. Behold what manner of love the Father has given, granted us, that we should be called the sons of God. If you've experienced his forgiveness, yeah, I want to tell you, now when God looks at you, he sees you as son. He sees you as daughter of the Most High God. And so when you walk, you no longer have that identity of being broken and lost. You have the identity of, I am a son. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. When God addresses you, he doesn't call you sinner. God calls you son. God calls you daughter. Your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God addresses you as a family member. That's why we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Amen.
Scripture records, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Well, we hope this Christmas day is filled with warm conversation and lots of laughter as you celebrate the birth of Jesus. As you've probably imagined, we're not in the studio today, but home celebrating the holiday with our friends and family. So even though we're not able to personally talk to you today, we'd like you to know that if you want to reach out and leave a message or comment, you can do that online at any time when you go to boldstepsradio.org. Or we'd like to invite you to connect with other listeners on our social media platforms. We have a vibrant and growing group of like-minded believers who would love to come alongside you as you walk this road of faith. So just log on to your Facebook or Instagram accounts and search for Bold Steps. Well, Mark, it's always interesting, fascinating actually, to learn more about Jesus. I'm so amazed to learn there are over 256 names for him in Scripture. But what's more amazing, you know, is knowing that if we accept him, then we become sons and daughters of God, and we get a new name to boot. So I can't think of a better time than Christmas to thank God for the wonderful gift we have in Christ. Would you lead us in prayer with that end?
Absolutely. And on behalf of the entire Bold Step team, on this special Christmas day, we want to say to you and your family, Merry Christmas. And so there's a team behind this, and we're celebrating with you. We have a producer, Judy Crone. We have our technical producer, Steve Wick. We have our host, Wayne Shepherd. And we're celebrating with you. This is a special day for us as well. And we embrace the message that Jesus brings hope to the world. And I want to just pray a prayer of blessing over you and your family. Father, I thank you that on this Christmas day, 2,000 years ago, you sent your son, Jesus. And we celebrate that, Father. We celebrate the fact that you came into this world, being all God, became all man, to die on a cross 33 years later to redeem us of our sins. And you have become the Prince of Peace, and you have brought hope to our lives. And so I pray, God, that all those that are listening to me, that they would sense your presence. I pray that you would invade households, where there has been conflict with peace. I pray that you would invade households where there has been discouragement with hope. I pray, Father, for households that have had sadness, that you would fill them with joy again. We pray this over our house, the households of our listeners, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again for such a wonderful message today, Mark, here on Christmas. You've been listening to Bold Steps, and if you've been challenged or encouraged by what you've heard in the program, be sure to drop us a line and let us know. You'll find us online at boldstepsradio.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Once again, Merry Christmas to you and your family from all of us at Bold Steps. Join us again next week when we begin a new series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. We'll be learning how to move past the emptiness on the Monday edition of Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.